I don't know if anybody else needed it, but I almost asked them to do that one again. Sometimes I just want to come to church and just remember. Just want to remember what he did for me. I love special music because sometimes it just takes you there and it helps you visualize it. For me, these times of year, these times are times of reflection, and they're times to just remember things, times to think about who he is and what he's done. And sometimes it just feels like life goes by way too fast, and you can't slow down enough to just meditate on his goodness. As much as I like to feel big and tall and strong and whatever, the best times is when I feel real small and I just feel like he can hold me and I can just rest in him. So that song took me there. Thank you for that. Well, as always, I appreciate the fact that I even get to be up here. And so thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church, for the opportunity. The goal is not to keep you long tonight. And hopefully I can keep to that goal. But I just want to give a few thoughts, trying to keep the Christmas theme, considering it's in just a couple days. So, anyways, thank you that I get to be up here tonight. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. See if we can pull a couple helpful thoughts out of this tonight. Just some stuff that I've been reflecting on in recent days, and I was just trying to put something together based off of a verse that just kept sticking out to me, and not just that, but other verses in the Bible as well that I've just been thinking about a lot in recent days. Luke chapter 2. Brother Jake's covered most of this for us, and so we're not going to repeat all that and reread all that. I just want to start down in verse 21. The Bible says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Let me just stop here for a moment. The message tonight's not about Simeon. There is a wonderful wealth of things that we could pull out of this just based off of who this man was and what he did. And I don't want to read too much into the text, but I mean, there's so much application that can be derived just from this man's life. You know, it says that after 8 days, you know, they were just following the law and were going to present their son to the Lord and get him circumcised. And I guess that took place in the temple. And, you know, it probably wasn't even on a day that they would normally meet. You know, it's not like they had church that night. I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to read too far into it. But it specifically says that he came by the Spirit. I mean, this man walked with God, and he was close enough to him that it probably wasn't even on a day that they were having temple services. No, he walked with God, and the Spirit said, today's the day that I'm bringing consolation to Israel, and now you can go and see it with your own eyes, hold it with your own hands, and get to experience everything that I told you you'd get to. I mean, there's so much. It's not just about being faithful to church and going on the days that we're supposed to gather. No, it's just being sensitive to the Spirit of God and doing what he wants you to do when he moves upon you to do it. Christianity is not just about being faithful to church. That's step one. Anyways, there's so much more that we could get into. The message is not about him tonight, but man, is he a good example for us. And look what he got to do. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Now don't beat them up too much, saying, well, shouldn't they have known? They knew a little bit. A lot was told to them by the angels, but not everything. They didn't have the full picture yet. She didn't understand everything that was going to take place in her son's life. And so they marveled at those things. I don't think we marvel enough sometimes. I mean, the Christmas story is something that just gets repeated year after year after year, and we just treat it like, oh yeah, it's just another story in the Bible. And sometimes if you don't have a habit of reading through your Bible, then maybe you don't even hear it until it becomes Christmas time. And what a shame, because there's so much here that's good to just reflect on. There's a lot to unpack in that one verse. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Father, I'd ask that you please help us tonight, Lord. I just pray that there'd be a few helpful thoughts here as we just take a moment to think about, again, just this season, what it represents, Lord. And Lord, to just honor the story, to hear it, Lord, and to remember and reflect and take something, apply it to our own lives, Lord. There's so much that we could do with Christmas. There's so much that we can take from it and help other people with, Lord. So let it not just be a story that gets regurgitated year after year, but I pray that we would find a moment where we can just get a better glimpse of you, draw closer to you, and Lord, just be able to move forward with this story having made a greater impact on our hearts. Help us tonight, Lord. We love you. Thank you for everything that you did for us. Father, thank you for salvation. Thank you that your word details out everything that had to be done for that to be afforded us. I'm thankful for your son tonight. I'm thankful for my own personal salvation. I'm just thankful for what you've done in my life, Lord. So help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that verse that has just been on my mind is, where'd it go? Verse 32. It says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And honestly, the only thing that's really just stuck out to me is just a light. It's just what he is. He's just a light. And so that has just replayed over and over again in my mind that, you know, when he came, you know, sure, things probably looked bleak and dim and probably wasn't a good season. You know, we know that there had been 400 silent years since the book of Malachi. And if you read the book of Malachi, God's final words to his people weren't very good words. And so, yeah, sure, I'm sure things didn't look very good. And all the prophecy said that it was coming to a people that sat in darkness. And so what was he to them? Well, he was a light. And it... reflecting on that in my own life, that's what he was for me. You get around truth enough, you get in church enough, and you get around other people that are simply shining their light, eventually there's enough light to make an impact on you. There's enough light for you to come to know Christ yourself. And that light has an impact. And it does something for us. And what's so beautiful about the Christmas story for me is it takes me back and reminds me that he was a light in a very, very dark time. But he was a light for me in a very, very dark time. And you might say, well, it probably wasn't that dark. I was lost and on my way to hell. That's dark. I was dead in my trespasses and sins and didn't know where I was going to go. It was dark. And so what was Christ for me? He was a light. Light is one of those things in our life that can be taken so for granted. I mean, you just think about light in general. If I asked Andrew right now to just, and don't do it, Andrew, you know, just hit the blackout button, you know, it'd be a totally different scenario that we're sitting in. I mean, we take it so for granted. Most people carry around a light in their pocket, the cell phone. I mean, we just have it, and you go home, you flip on all your light switches, and it's such a integral part of our lives, but it's something that's just there with modern technology. It's everywhere. We have it so readily accessible and available, we take it for granted. I think a lot of us would find ourselves in a very, very bad way if we had to go back in time to when it was just candles, or you just didn't do things at night and you had to wait for the daytime. I think if we consider it, the light that is, in a spiritual context, we know light is Jesus. He is the light of the world. While we do not have his light in the flesh now, we do have it in word. And its role in our lives as believers can as well be taken for granted. But the role it plays is nonetheless an extremely important one. And for the one who has taken enough time to ponder how their lives have changed because of it, is one of the greatest blessings of being saved. Just sit down one day and just think about light. What has light been for you? What has light done in your life? What role has it played for you? And you'll start to realize just how deep that one thing alone really goes, and how integral it's been in your Christianity. By way of introduction, there are a few things that light, lowercase l that is, does for us as light, uppercase L. Thinking about it myself, again, I like to just try and have times of reflection, especially during these times of the year, and I just like to think about what God is to me and what he's done for me. And again, this passage of scripture kept coming to my mind. If he was a light to them now, you know, what did that mean for them? But what does it mean for me now? How has God been a light in my life? And so I wrote down a few thoughts, again, just by way of introduction, just talking about the topic of light and the roles that it plays. There's a few things that I discovered that it's been in my own life, if you will, and maybe it has been for yours. Number one, light directs. Luke 1, 78 through 79 says, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to do what? To guide our feet into the way of peace." To guide our feet, light directs. Psalm 43:3 says, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." Light directs. Psalm 119:105, here's one everybody knows. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So hopefully everybody in here can agree with the fact that, well, what role does light play in my life? Light directs me. Light shows me the path that I'm supposed to go on. And of course, when we're talking about light, we're talking about the Word of God. But this is just one aspect that it does. When we look into it for that light, it guides you. God uses His Word to lead you to Him for salvation, and then through Him with sanctification, and to Him for service. It gives you every step of the way. We have everything that we need right here because light directs. Obviously, light reveals, it manifests things. We're able to see everything in here tonight because we have light. And that's what the Word of God does for us. Light directs. Proverbs 4, 18 through 19 says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Proverbs 6, 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Light directs. Number two, light corrects. John 3, 19 through 21 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." If light does not correct you, then men would have no problem coming to it. But the fact of the matter is, light doesn't just reveal things. Light reproves things. Light is a correcting agent in our lives. And the closer you are to God, the more you will appreciate the fact that it does that for you. That is a blessing. I am so thankful that God reveals things to me. I'm so thankful that He shows me my error. I'm so thankful that when I even sometimes just have seasons where I'm just blind to things, God sometimes even uses other people to come into my life and say the difficult things and say, "Hey, this is a problem area for you. Let me shed some light on it." Praise God for that. Light doesn't just direct me. Light corrects me. And we all need that. And that is what it does in our lives. Ephesians 5, 8 through 13 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." And so naturally, what do? Walk as children of light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Light directs us. Light corrects us. Here's another one. Light perfects. 1 John 1, 5 through 7 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." How do you think light perfects you? You got to abide in him. We have to fellowship with him. We have to keep returning time and time again, asking for the forgiveness that we need, for the cleansing that we need. And when we abide in him, John chapter 15 talks about the husbandman and Jesus being the true vine, God the Father being the husbandman. He does his pruning work and he's perfecting. But how does he do that? When we walk in the light, that light reveals, that light reproves, and that light shows us all the areas that God's trying to work in our lives. So light directs us, light corrects us, and light perfects. And then one more that I thought about is that light reflects. John 8, 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light." He says again in John 9, 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But now watch this. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, he says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So light reflects. Jesus is the light of the world. But he also gave us that position. Ye are the light of the world. Because we're supposed to be reflecting him. The Bible refers to him in Malachi as the sun, that's capital S, UN of righteousness. And what's interesting is the sun is actually what's always shining on our world. That's where we're always getting light from. You say, well, what about when it's dark outside and we've got the light? It's reflecting off the moon all the time. The sun's always shining. And that is our job. When other people are in darkness, when other people are in the night, it is our job to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ so that they're able to see that light directs, light corrects, light perfects, and light reflects. So naturally, here's a question to ask yourselves. If light directs, is it directing you? If light corrects, is it correcting you? If light perfects, is it perfecting you? And if light reflects, does it reflect off of you? Simple questions. But the fact of the matter is, we are able to actually walk as believers and none of these things be true for our life. Because you have to place yourself and submit yourself under the light of God's word for all of those things to be true for you. And so those are important questions to ask. If light plays that role or those roles, is that able to happen in your life because you submit yourself to it? With all that being said, and with so much more that can be delved into, I want to take a brief moment tonight to remind us of what happened when Christ was born and what that meant regarding his light. Now, I just want to say this right now. We could just stop with what was there. That was enough for me, genuinely, thinking about that. I'm not even going to be able to scratch the surface with this. It's just, we're going to read this and just reflect on what this verse meant, what it meant for that day, and hopefully just have a few thoughts out of it. Because really, it's just about reminding us of what happened when Christ was born and what that meant regarding his light. And so I just want to preach on this thought briefly, reminding myself briefly, how life changed when light came. Number one, I want to draw your attention to Luke chapter 2, back to verses 30 through 31. This one, Simeon said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Number one, we see the promise of that light was fulfilled. What had been a prophecy all those years, beginning in Genesis, had in this moment and in this place come to fruition. It was no longer simply just a story that was believed for thousands of years. Especially after being in silence from God for over 400 years after Malachi the prophet, this moment was truly spectacular. And that reminds us that his promises are true and always come to pass, and that we in our time ought to be looking for the promises that have yet to be fulfilled. Go read the book of Malachi. Very interesting book. And it's almost as if he skips right over the birth of Christ. But he says, I'm going to send the messenger of the covenant. I'm not going to forget to do that. He's coming. And I'm going to send, and he's talking about John the Baptist, to prepare the way for him to come. But then he jumps almost directly to the fact that the great dreadful day of the Lord is coming. And so all of that, John the Baptist coming to prepare the way for the Lord, and then the Lord coming, all of that was just a precursor for what? The other prophecies and promises that have yet to be fulfilled. And so what took place when Christ was born? That promise, that prophecy, if you will, was fulfilled. And it's a reminder to us that what God says is true. What God says for us here and now is true. What he says in his word is relevant, and it's true, and it's applicable. And they are promises that we can take and believe in and trust in. When God shows up for us in ways that are seen in his word, the fulfillment of truth in our lives become building blocks of faith as we continue to trust him. Could you just imagine being Mary and Joseph? And I know they probably believed the prophecies and what the scripture said, but that moment really solidified it for them. I mean, they got to experience, he's actually here now. There's the light. Here's the Savior. here's salvation. He's here now. And they got to be there for that. All the stories that they heard had now become true. Having believed his word and being a part of its fulfillment must have been incredible. And we get to have a part in it all when we continue in the same path, trusting the same promises and getting to experience God work out truth in our lives. But if we're not careful, we'll be guilty of the very same things that most of the people of Israel were guilty of in his time when he came. We shouldn't be caught blindsided when he comes. We should be looking and watching and ready. It could be this year. We don't know. But what are we doing in light of that? Because if it's true and if it is coming, then there's work to be done. And what we do in light of the promises really reveals how much faith we actually have in those promises, or how much we truly fear God and desire to do as he desires of us. So number one, what changed when light came is the promises of that light was fulfilled. Number two, Luke 2:32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. I just want to look at that phrase, a light. And for me, this is impactful. The presence of that light was felt. I mean, for the first time ever, he's here. And the presence of that light was now felt. What Mary sought for those 9 months, what Joseph waited to see come to fruition, what Simeon patiently looked for, and what Anna readily responded to was now here. The very presence of the light of the world was manifested in the flesh. Having and holding children of my own, I can only imagine what it would have been like to hold my Savior as a baby and to feel for the first time what nobody had ever experienced before. The presence of that light was felt, and that reminds us to look for his presence always. Yeah, sure, he was here physically, and we don't have that now. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. The light didn't get stamped out when they put him on the cross. No, we still have it. And it's in the word of God. And we get to feel that presence if we draw close to him. He told the people in the book of Malachi, if you return unto me, I'll return unto you. James even had similar sentiments. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. And we get to feel his presence. And so what does it do? It reminds us to look for his presence always. You might, if you really genuinely take the time to sit back this Christmas season and reflect upon how close you are to God, you might realize that maybe you haven't been very close to him. Maybe his presence hasn't been very real to you. But that's why these times are so important, because it's that moment where you can reflect on what took place that day. The promises were fulfilled. The presence of that light was felt. I get to do that now too if I so choose to. His light is just as prevalent for us through the written word, and the more we hear it and heed it, the more real his presence becomes in our lives. Lastly, this. The purpose of that light was foreshadowed. Again, Luke 2:32 says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. I said it before, I'll say it again. It may not have been known as an obvious fact at the time by all, but it was certainly foretold, and even then at his birth, foreshadowed, that he was here with a purpose to be our sacrifice. He was a light to lighten the Gentiles. It would be through him that the ends of the world would receive salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection, and it would be through him that all, Jew and Gentile, could come to God through Christ. The church would be established, and those of Israel that would believe would be glorified because of him, fulfilling his promise to his people. I can't imagine what glory he really could have been to them if they would have just received him. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. This reminds us that there has always been a plan, and one that has yet to be fully completed. We have just as much a part in the story today in getting the gospel to as many as we can. The world still must be reached while there is time. All that needed to happen happened, and it is our duty and service to Him to see to it we keep telling the story, living the reality of it out ourselves, and looking for the Savior's return. So in conclusion tonight, this was an absolutely monumental moment in the history of this world, one that I can hardly do justice to with just a simple message. But if we understand its impact and what it changed for those in that day, how it has changed our lives, it gives us something to remember during this season and during the Christmas holiday. And so I'll close and ask you this. What has His light changed in your life? If we go back to the beginning, has light been that for you? What has it changed for you? It changed a whole lot for them. They did something with Christmas. What are we doing with it? What has light changed in your life? When is the last time you meditated upon all that it does for you? If we don't make that a regular habit of our lives, then we will soon drift further and further away and forget just how important light is for us. Let's all stand to our feet and we'll pray. Father, thank you for our time tonight. I pray that you just take the simple thoughts and help somebody, Lord, just to take a moment to reflect during this season of what you did for us, Lord. So thank you tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.